Welcome this Sunday, November 7th, 2021. Our scriptures this week are Psalms 110, Hebrews 9, 24 through 28. And our sermon scriptures this week come from Mark 12, 35 through 44. Our message this week got titled, Putting in Your Two Cents. So if you'd please open your Bibles and follow along as we read Psalms 110. Verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle. Arrayed in holy majesty, from the womb of the dawn, you will receive the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. And he will drink from the brook beside the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Our second reading is from Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the holy place every year with blood that is not his own. For then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all, at the end of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And our gospel reading comes from Mark, chapter 12, verses 35 through 44. So while Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, How is it that the teachers of the law say that Christ is a son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. David calls himself Lord. How then can he be his son? The large crowd listened to him with delight. So as he taught, Jesus said, Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces, and have the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for show make lengthy prayers. But such men will be punished most severely. The widow's offering. And Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came up and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Throughout the final scenes of Jesus' public ministry, Mark's gospel has documented an ongoing debate between Jesus and the members of the Sanhedrin. And in today's gospel reading, in these temple-located exchanges, Jesus gets in the last word. Although in last week's text, Jesus had praised the scribe, declaring that he was not far from the kingdom of God. The scribes who were part of our focus in this week's discussion fall at the other end of the ethical spectrum. Instead of hearing from Jesus, you are not far from the kingdom of God, these scribes hear, such men will be punished most severely for their hypocrisy. So in these final verses, Mark records that Jesus asked the teachers of the law a rhetorical question about the first scriptures we read today. Psalms 110, verse 1. said, "The Lord said, my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet," while thereby revealing himself as the Messiah, the Son of God. They didn't have the benefit of the teachings we receive today from the writer of Hebrews, so all too many of them just blew them off and went about their business as usual. Well, Jesus knew this would be their attitude. So then he warns all of those listening to him about the hypocrisy of the teachers of the law and contrasts them with the humble widow who gives her all to God. So many of the teachers of the law were like a little boy in a story told about a Sunday morning service in a little church similar to ours. The sermon just seemed to go on and on, and unlike me, the preacher kept circling the point but never quite getting there. And I'll get there. Just let me put my 2 cents in here. One of the little boys in the service that day was getting more and more restless. Mom was having a hard time getting him to sit still. And finally, in a whisper loud enough for the whole congregation to hear, he said, "Mommy, if you give him the money now, will he let us go?" Well, I think that story is also a good reminder that preachers need to follow the old KISS principle. You know, keep it simple, stupid. And it also reminded me of how everyone, even the little ones, like to put their 2 cents in. The teachers of the law most certainly did. This day, in the temple, Jesus got his 2 cents in. By Mark's recording of the account of the widow's offering, it's probably where we get that phrase, putting your 2 cents in. So let me put my 2 cents in. According to diagrams in many biblical commentaries, within the temple proper was an area known as the women's court. There, along the walls, were 13 large metal trumpeted-shaped receptacles to receive offerings for various purposes. It was across from this area where he sat to teach. Jesus, sitting there in the temple teaching, must have noticed the sounds that the coins made as the people would come and make their offering. Some of the rich people would put in large sums, and some of the rich people did it with great fanfare. You see, those receptacles sat in plain view, and the clinking and clanking of their offering advertised to the crowds around the size of their offering. The loud noise would cause people to turn and look. So sometimes these rich people would go from one metal receptacle to another, loudly proclaiming just how generous they were, not with words, but with the clinking and clanking of their coins in the receptacles. And Jesus said that such donors have already received their reward. Matthew 6, 1 and 2. But Jesus, sitting there teaching amidst all the noise of the temple, heard when the widow quietly placed her 2 mites in the offering receptacles. He heard and he pointed out her generosity. And why? Well, not because of the clinking and clanking sound it made, because it was probably almost unnoticeable, but because she gave reverently, rejoicingly, and recklessly. This widow's attitude in giving is an example, a model for us today, of the mindset we should have in all our giving. Let's take a moment and examine the widow's offering and her attitude in giving. So, reverently. Well, according to my spell checker, reverently is an adverb, and it's defined as a being in a way that exhibits deep respect. So the first thing to note about the widow is that she gave reverently. But before we talk about her, let me demonstrate how you can be one of those teachers of the law Jesus was talking about. You've probably seen these kinds of people before. And the one who wants everyone to know just how much they give. So what you do first is you have to prepare your wallet or purse. You go to the bank and get a brand new $20 bill or even a $50 bill. It depends on just how much you want to be noticed. And you also get at least $21 bills. You can use as many as 30, but after that it starts to become problematic. Second, you lay the $20 bill on the outside of all those ones and carefully place the whole bundle in your wallet or purse. And third, you sit in a pew as the offering plate comes and pretend not to notice that it has darted down your road. And when it gets to you, you act surprised. Make a big deal about it, getting out your wallet or opening your purse while your neighbor holds the offering plate. And finally, you carefully pull out the $20 and ones fold the $20 over the one so it looks like a whole stack of 20s and carefully place it in the offering plate. That's so your neighbor can see how generous you are. Take the plate and pass it on. Well, that's if you really want to be like the teachers of the law Jesus was talking about. So let me also put my two cents in again, telling you what reverent giving looks like. In an encounter I had one Sunday morning in the form of a 5-year-old little boy who ran up and threw his arms around my leg and hugged the stuffing out of me. But he jumped out of nowhere one Sunday morning in the business of the entryway of the church. He nearly tripped me. But it was his hug of love that kept me from falling, just as it's been Christ's very own hug of love that has kept me from falling so many other times in my daily walk of faith. So when those little arms unwrapped themselves from my leg, the little boy they belonged to yelled, "Hey, preacher, look what I got for Jesus this morning." I looked down, and he proudly showed me his quarter for the offering. When he told me that his mom and dad had recently started him on allowance, they gave him 10 quarters a week. One of them, the first one, was for Jesus, the second one was for savings, and the other 8, he could spend almost any way he wanted. I wish you could have seen the look of joy in that little boy's face when he gave his quarter to Jesus. It was just a quarter, but the widow's mite couldn't have been any more precious than the quarter at that moment. Like the widow, that little boy gave reverently and rejoicingly. The widow also gave rejoicingly. Well, my spell checker doesn't think that's a real word, but we're going to baptize it and use it anyway because we're called to give rejoicingly as well. So, true story. A missionary from India told about an army officer who stopped to have his shoes shined by a poor Indian boy on the street. He said the boy launched into his task with such enthusiasm and vigor that the man was utterly amazed. Instead of an ordinary slipshod performance with an all-too-eager, outstretched hand for a tip, the boy worked diligently until the leather sparkled with a beautiful shine. The officer asked, "Why are you taking so much time to polish my boots?" And the young boy told the officer, "Well, sir, last week Jesus came into my heart, and now I belong to him. And since then, every time I shine somebody's shoes, I keep thinking they're the shoes that belong to Jesus. So I do the very best I can. I want Jesus to be pleased." That attitude of doing a great job instead of a good job makes all the difference. That young boy felt the joy of Christ in his heart, and like the widow, was living a life of rejoicing. And no matter what he did it rejoicingly. And we're called to do the same and to give with the same rejoicing heart. The widow gave recklessly. So according to my spell checker, recklessly is an adjective meaning utterly unconcerned about the consequences of some action without cause. So let me give you my last 2 cents. Well, maybe it's 3 cents. The widow gave recklessly. She gave without thought to her own needs first. She gave her all out of love for God, knowing that even though she was a poor widow, God would take care of her. I'm reminded of the story of a young preacher who was invited to speak at one of the local service clubs. He felt flattered by the invitation until the master of ceremonies he rose to introduce him. "Unfortunately," he said, "our original choice for today's speaker was unable to attend." Well, then, in a clumsy attempt at humor, he pointed to a broken window pane which had been covered over by a piece of cardboard. "Our speaker," he said, "is like that piece of cardboard in the window. He's a substitute." Just a bit reckless in his introduction, don't you think? Anyway, being somewhat taken aback by the sloppy introduction, the young preacher decided to show them. Substitute or not, he would deliver a good talk. And he did. And when he finished the speech, he received a rousing ovation. But when the MC attempted to thank the speaker, it was even more awkward than the introduction. "Reverend," he said, "we want you to know that you weren't at all like the cardboard substitute. You were a real pain." Well, look, I don't want to be a real pain, but let me put in my 2 cents by asking you a rhetorical question like Jesus asked to the teachers of the law. Is how you live and give hypocritical in your walk with Christ, devouring widows' houses for show, or are you like the poor widow, reverently, rejoicingly, and recklessly giving to God all he deserves. Remember the words of the Hebrew writer. Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. And Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So when putting in your 2 cents the day and every day, do it reverently, rejoicingly, and recklessly, because of the gift of grace God has given you through Christ our Lord and Savior. I'm just putting my 2 cents in. In his service, this has been Pastor Joe.